Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money audio commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 2:43 p.m., and that is on March 4th. And today we started to see a little bit of weakness coming through in the Nasdaq. At one point today, it was working on a downside Q reversal, and we're starting to see some of that selling pressure ebb and the intraday short-term oversold condition being unwound. There's still, of course, an hour and 15 minutes of trading left, so anything can happen in the space of that amount of time. But this is a natural area where we could anticipate that there should be at least some pause for consideration as to what happens next. If we look at the consistency of the trend on the Nasdaq, I think it's really worth our time to do so for the simple reason that the Nasdaq has been such a leader. And it pulled back in January with the wider market, but it very quickly rebounded to a new all-time high. It pulled back again and posted a higher reaction low. There was a downside key in March, but there was an upside, very clear upside outside day in April. That took it all the way on to new highs by early September, retested them in late September, but then it pulled back and exceeded the low from February. So people were understandably starting to think here that there was a peak was in place and that there was obviously a very high risk premium attached to the market, and subsequently we've had this very impressive rebound. And the market has broken the sequence of lower rally highs represented by the peaks in October, November, and December. But it is above that 7,000 level. And why, one might ask, is 7,000 so important? Well, it's a big round number, and that does tend to register with investors, but of course it also represents the peak back in January, and it was the level above which the market failed to sustain the move in March. So it's a natural area now where people are going to start asking the question whether it's going to be able to sustain the move above it on this occasion. So I think we are at a stage right now where there is some degree of questioning. Well, in here today, it was the turn of the cloud computing shares to experience some selling pressure. And they have really exhibited rather tremendous outperformance. For example, Salesforce did also pull back in January, but it bounced very clearly from the trend mean, and it really didn't look back after that until we got all the way through to the beginning of October. Then it did pull back, and just last week it pushed on to a new all-time high. But with earnings in here today, it has pulled back by about $6, and that's a sizable downside, downward dynamic, and we haven't seen a pullback in terms of the size of today's pullback since the low back in November. Well, what that suggests is that there is at least some reticence among investors to support the idea that the market is going to imminently break on the upside and continue to advance. So I think that's certainly something that we can conclude from today's pullback, not just on Salesforce, but when we look at it's a pretty similar situation for some of the bigger cloud computing shares. Workday pulled back on Friday and extended that decline in here today. So it's at least suggesting that we are in for a period of consolidation in terms of the cloud computing sector. When we look at the wider market, however, I think it is particularly important to pay attention to some of the mega cap shares. So, for example, Amazon today was in positive territory. It has firmed back up towards the upper side of this range. It's testing the $1,700 area. It is continuing to firm from the region of the trend mean, and this is about as benign a situation as we could possibly hope for. And as long as we have these incredibly large cap constituents of the major indices doing better, then that's likely to be a firming agent for the wider markets. Google wasn't quite able to hold the break upwards to new recovery highs in here today, and it's closing back below the $1,150 area. But as long as it's holding the $1,000 area, then that's really going to be the key arbiter of whether this is an evolving top formation or a lengthier period of consolidation. And then, of course, we have Apple. Apple had been ripe for, pardon the pun, had been ripe for some consolidation. It certainly had it. It wasn't able to hold the move up to new recovery highs in here today either. But as long as it's holding the low around 140, then we can conclude that at least support building is underway in here. There are a number of arguments circulating. Obviously, there are people starting to wonder about the earnings outlook and the prospect of additional buybacks. Considering that we're exiting the earnings season, then the lockup in terms of company buybacks will be running out, and this is when we can anticipate that new buybacks will be announced. And as a point I've been making for years is that buybacks are the primary conduit through which easy monetary policy and global liquidity find their way into the stock market. So that is obviously going to have a significant impact on the markets. Then we have to think about the outlook for the trade war to ease. Some people are already commenting that that is already priced in. I have my doubts about that. This is a I think a rapidly evolving situation. It I think would be rather rash to conclude that the full potential for an armistice, or at least a pause, or even an agreement in terms of the trade war has been priced in. So that is, I think, going to be a fundamental driver behind an appreciable further advance in the stock market. But what I think is perhaps now being started to price in is the outlook for bonds, because one of the reasons why the Federal Reserve has been reticent to continue to raise interest rates has been because of the trade war and the potential for the global market to be under pressure as a result of that. Well, I continue to think that China is going to not only try and agree a trade pact with the USA, where they agree to spend more but give up less of their ambitions to continue to drive towards being the future technological innovator of the global economy. If that's indeed the case, then that will remove one of the headwinds that the Federal Reserve tends to look at in terms of raising interest rates. Well, one of the things we saw in here is that any time we've seen the yield start to push up towards this 2.8% level, it's pulled back. And we've had some stress in the stock market. I think that's one of the reasons why we had the pullback in here today. It's not so much about cloud computing. It's not really so much about the outlook for the stock market, but rather about the interest rate outlook from the Fed. And if the Fed decides that they are going to delay their easing of the contraction of the balance sheet, obviously that would be a factor. I think there's that wasn't a particularly articulate sentence, so let me try and rephrase it. The market has more or less been pricing in over the course of the last few months that the Federal Reserve is not going to raise interest rates, and they are close to the end of contracting the balance sheet. If the outlook for the global economy improves and we get continued growth in the US economy, well, they might be encouraged to change their mind and start raising interest rates again. Well, that's obviously something that the market does not want to see. The investors have by and large concluded that we are at the top of the interest rate cycle. And I think that's part of the reason why we've had some weakness in the stock market today and a contraction in the yield. This is putting the Federal Reserve in a bind in terms of its actions, because investors are voting that they don't want to see additional interest rate hikes, but the global economy is likely to get a stimulus from China, and we have continued at potential for fiscal stimulus. That's particularly the case in Europe. And the euro was in weaker territory in here today. So the euro is now down to 113. This is another lower high, and it has this time encountered resistance at 114. If you look back to January, it encountered resistance at 116. At the beginning of February, it was 115, and at the beginning of March, it was 114. Well, I don't think anyone is going to be particularly surprised if by the time we roll around to the beginning of April, that it'll be re encountering resistance at 113. But this continues to look like a downtrend. And Europe needs a weaker currency, and the potential for fiscal stimulus and the orientation of the ECB towards certainly not raising interest rates, but even potentially kicking off the quantitative easing machine once more, is, I think, weighing on the Eurozone. But a weaker currency is certainly beneficial for the European stock market. And despite the fact that it is somewhat overbought in the short term, the most important thing that the European markets have done has been to break the more than year-long sequence of lower rally highs. So it has now got ample potential, or it's got ample space in which to consolidate and still be on a recovery trajectory. And if the euro continues to decline, then that should be positive for Europe. Well, the Shanghai A shares were up really very significantly in here today, considering that the shares are considering that it is China's stock market has been the worst performer over the course of the last 15 months, and not least because of trade war fears. Then, as trade war fears ebb, then there is certainly the potential for China to continue to outperform. And despite the fact that the A shares were off their peak in here today, this continues to look like a recovery trajectory. But we are, I think, increasingly coming towards a point where we should get some consolidation. That is, I think, what we're starting to see with the underperformance of the cloud computing shares, the pause in terms of the wider markets, and the fact that we do have these short-term overbought conditions. That is likely to roll over eventually into a process of consolidation. But considering that we've had such an impressive rebound, that a substantial number of these indices have got plenty of room in which to consolidate and still be above their trend means, and that's really one of the most benign potential outcomes that we might hope for. Of course, that's assuming that the region of the trend mean continues to hold. Now, when we then look at what's going on in India, the market was in positive territory in here today. It's been largely range-bound over the course of the last few months. This is also right in the region of the trend mean. Of course, this is obviously going to, well, the fact that the market has been so inert, that the rupee has been inert at the same time, this is all in anticipation of the election. There's nobody wants to take big positions in India in over the course of the next 6 weeks, because they just don't know what the result of the election is going to be. If the BJP remains in power, and if Narendra Modi is still the Prime Minister, then the big question will be how big will the majority be, or whether are they going to have to take on a coalition partner, and how much power will that coalition partner have? So these are the big questions. But the Indian market, Has certainly been doing well, and it is consolidating above the trend mean. That I think is rather supportive of the idea that investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to Modi remaining in power, but they don't want to take big wagers on that eventuality in the very short term. Now, if the dollar has continued to remain firm, that's generally positive for Japan, and the Nikkei in here today pushed back above the trend mean. So that is certainly an improvement in terms of the outlook for the market. And the second section was also in positive territory, but it hasn't quite yet been able to sustain a move above the trend mean. But I think the more important level really is the 7,000 level. That represented the lower side of the overhead trading range, and it's the first area of potential support. I'm rather reminded of the very first example from the chart seminar, where we get an example of past support becoming future resistance, and that's exactly what we have right here in the second section. So it's going to have to sustain a move above 7,000 to really help to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term. Now let's take a look at what's going on in gold. Well, I'm certainly reminded of David's view that you don't pay up for commodities. And we've now got evidence of at least short-term resistance around the $1,350 area, and the price has pulled back over the course of the last 2 weeks, and it is now testing the lows from back in January. And it has just about unwound. It's over as a bought condition relative to the trend mean. But we're going to have to see a clear upward dynamic to confirm a return to demand dominance. The precious metals are best bought following reactions, and this is another reaction. There isn't a great deal of evidence to suggest yet that the reaction is over. But what I find particularly interesting is that silver is almost right back to the $15 area. And $15 was the upper side of that base put in between September and December. And there is a short-term oversold condition. It's been down on consecutive days, and this is a natural area where we might anticipate that some support should start to come back in. So I think there is scope here for silver to start to perform once more. But again, we're going to have to see these upward dynamics, and certainly platinum was pulling back in a dynamic manner in here today. I think investors are going to be looking for the support starting to come back in around the $800 area, considering that it has now failed to sustain the move above 850. Palladium has been subject to more volatility of late, and it was in negative territory in here today, but it's still exhibiting a clear pattern of outperformance, despite the fact that the pace of the advance has picked up. There is clearly acceleration evident on the chart, but there is an absence of very clear downward dynamics to cap that acceleration, and it's certainly still a supply-dominated environment. But then we also need to keep an eye on the industrial resources, and copper prices, having broken upwards out of their range last week, were in mildly positive, excuse me, negative territory in here today. But I think a lot of people now are going to be looking at the upper side of that underlying trading range to offer support, and I think that there is ample potential that the area around the 290 or the 285 area is going to represent an area of support for the copper price. That's particularly the case if the global reflation trade does pick up pace. And if China does embark on a cutting of the VAT, that would certainly, for the factories, that would be certainly a very positive outcome. We know that they're also going to cut personal income taxes, but that's only going to happen as part of a wider effort to widen the tax bans and bring more people in. So we need to see, I think, further evidence of a Chinese stimulus to really convince investors that we are getting into a more of a reflationary environment. Now, when we look at Brazil, obviously, a global reflation trade would certainly benefit Brazil as a major commodity exporter, as well as being a major population center in its own right. And the fact that Bolsonaro, who's basically a right-wing populist, has been elected there has already stoked investors' interest in the market, but it is overextended relative to the trend mean, and we have been getting some consolidation over the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks, and I suspect that we're not quite over with that period of consolidation just yet. Think if we start to really think about the fact that we've had such an impressive rebound, it's inevitable that we're going to get some consolidation eventually. We've certainly had a pause on the S&P 500 in the region of this 2800 point level, and it is off its lows at present, but this is a natural area where we could anticipate some consolidation. And if the consolidation is limited to a pullback of just this size, well, then that would be a very bullish outcome, but I think there is absolutely no guarantee that that is going to remain the case. The VIX index has been really contracting over the course of the last while. You can see that it was up in a rather dynamic manner in early trading in here today, but has not been able to sustain the move above 15. If we do see I think upside on this index, well, it is going to contribute to a greater volatility on the wider market. So I think there is the risk that we're going to get some unwinding of the short-term overbought conditions that we've seen on markets. I think that's the clear conclusion that we have from today's trading. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.